Here we go. All right. All right. First, we're going to start with what we started with the other. We started with a reminder of how faith becomes authentic. And just a reminder. And I suggest that everybody take note of this reminder, because this is the basis of this entire series on faith, on how it becomes authentic, on how it becomes temperament. And so this note is really important to keep as we continue to go, because we're not done in the series. We're just bringing things into a place of balance again for the last four messages that we've heard. And so this is how it becomes authentic. We first take the definition of faith. Two definitions that come to mind: the truthfulness of God, and then the character of one who can be relied on. That is the definite, one of the definitions, two of the definitions of faith: the truthfulness of God, and then the second definition is the character of one who can be relied on. The word character means personality, nature, disposition, which we've looked at in the past quite a bit, or the word that of choice that we've been utilizing as of late is the word temperament or makeup, but we've been in the word temperament. The temperament, it describes God's mood, his personality, the kind of the basis of his character here. And we get this here from in Proverbs. So now we know faith is the character of one that can be relied on. Character means temperament. And then we get it from here. I'm going to skip over 8, 32 through 36. I'm going to go down to verse 34, where it says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors." And so now we found out here that when we go to the post, the word post actually means a moving creature. It means moving creature. And for the people that have been in the study of this for a while, you understand that moving creatures, we identify that with Ezekiel's vision and with John the Revelator's vision, when the four creatures or the four beasts were seen around the throne. We saw man, ox, eagle, and lion. That is God's, a lot of God's character comes from those four. The humility of man, the perseverance of the ox, just a mindset of just stick-to-itiveness. Then you get the vision of the eagle, which becomes confident and is a striker in the spirit. And he's just, assertive, he's sure. He understands every movement and what's going on. And then we get the lion, which just the word lion, the name lion speaks for itself. That's where you get all the boldness. And that's where you get, that's where I believe a lot of manifestation comes through in that posture and those characteristics. So that's where we get authentic faith, that the word that we're listening to or that we're hearing, the rhema word, will become personal. And in that personal time, it will release God's temperament. It won't just be a rhema. It will become a temperament that really is moving now, the rhema word. It will dictate how you feel and how you're dealing with situations. And so God has revealed to us the place of authentic faith. And so this is where we pick up, and the Lord began to talk to us in part one of the last few four messages. There's work to be done. We were talking about it still under the heading, walking in the power of his faith. And a note was said in the beginning here: I know the title goes against the grain of what we know. Works are not in the rhema of our New Testament living. We know it is finished. We all know that. But if we are truly going to tap into it is finished, the truth that's about to be told, there's still work to be done. And then the note said, let me show you how. And this is where God began to challenge us about walking in and coming truly into the authentic faith. And the work was this. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, coming out of James 1, 22 through 25. For if any man, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Then James blew it up like this, and this became really, really plain to me today. I mean, really plain. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say, and you're looking at the notes, you see say is bolded out. Though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? Then he gives an example. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say, there's that word again, say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. In other words, God was challenging us and telling us we're not ones that are just saying we have faith. We're not sayers. We're not ones that are just saying this and like some of the Bible and Bible scholars or some of the people in the kingdom, they say they have faith, but there's absolutely no work behind it. The work for us, we already know, is going to the post of his door, exchanging our temperaments for his. If we say it, if we're saying it, listen, let me put it to you like this. If we don't go to the post, we're like a guy or a person that has plenty of provisions. Someone knocks on your door and says they're hungry. And only thing you do is say, go and be filled. What good is that? What good is it if you couldn't hand them a muffin or you couldn't hand them a piece of bread or make them a sandwich or something? What good is you saying, be filled? That's what James is saying here. What good is it if you sit there and say you have faith, but don't do what we've learned to authenticate it? It's no different from you saying to the person that's hungry, be filled, and don't give them what they need. When you do what the word has taught you and you go to the post, you are now receiving the provisions that hungry man was looking for. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
But if you don't go to the post, you don't do the work behind it, and you just sit on it, it's just like you saying to someone, be filled. God bless you, brother, be filled. That's exactly what faith without works is. That's all it is. So the work means toil as an effort or occupation. By implication, there's action behind it. There's a doing, there's labor, there's work. In other words, I know I need to get up and receive his influence. That's all I do, is get up and receive influence, or get up and desire influence.
Amen.
That's it. Even in that, the Bible declares, and Elder Donna, you said this, God is working the will and the do. So basically, only thing I do is tap into the will.
Yes.
It's already there. And so that's the work that God has called us to. So the key word here is, if a man simply says he has faith, it's like a brother or sister comes with needs, as we talked about, and you have a surplus of what it is they need. And the only thing you do is say, be at peace, and give them nothing. That's not going to help them. It's not, what good is it for them? It's no good. That's exactly what faith without works is. It's just a word. It's a word. And it's dead if it lies there alone. Can you imagine having a rhema and it's dead? A revelation on how to really move in kingdom living, how to live the faith life. And only thing it is a word. Boy, we've taken a lot of ridicule over the years. We've gotten so much rhema, but we've had people that just did they didn't do the what was required behind it. Mm-hmm. Stay in the study is God, all that God has told us.
Oh.
That's all he said.
Yes.
All right. Further confirmation, then James again, yea, a man say, there's that word again, thou hast faith and I have works. I love what he says here. He says, show me your faith without your works. And I'll tell you, I'll show thee my faith by my works.
Yes.
In other words, faith, listen, now faith is the substance. It's tangible. So you show me your faith without works. And the writer says, I promise you, boy, I'll show you my faith by my works. You'll see my substance. You'll see. You'll see. You will see. I'll never see your faith without works. But I tell you, man, if we get to the post, we can show the world our faith by our works.
Amen, Lord God. Amen.
Just by receiving his influence.
Yes.
Just by receiving and him being able to put his temperament on us from the inside out, from salvation to success, his temperament is covering us. So he said there was work to be done. Faith can't be seen without works. Words out of our mouths don't reveal faith. Works reveal our faith, everybody. Making it to the post of his door, and change is coming over your life. Because works manifest reflection of our faith. Works bring kingdom into manifestation. Our works were revealed again, and we see it again. One more time. We see it again. It says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, Proverbs 8 says, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. There's your work. That's it. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Waiting. Waiting for what he wants to say. Waiting for what he wants to describe. And then he wants to place on you. He wants to provide for you the mantle of his temperament to walk in the change. And that's what faith, and that's what faith brings. That's when faith starts to bring forth the reflection. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. He said in 35, but whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. So bottom line, in part one, God was saying, get to the post of my doors, guys, where you die and I live. That's your work. Choose to receive his influence and your faith is fully complete. With works, his faith in you will be made perfect here. That's without question. Part two. We then begin to hear the Lord tell us in part two, in Proverbs 8 and 17, he says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. The word love means to have affection. It's ahab in the Hebrew. It's to have affection for, or it means human appetite for objects such as food, drink, sleep, wisdom. It means act of being a friend. They that love me. The love seems to be a bit conditional here. It sounds a little conditional, meaning if you're coming to me, it's that same condition that we talked about. If you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. Mm-hmm. You have to prove. This is where God is saying, prove you love me. Come to my gate, get to the post of my door. I will love you that love me. This sounds to me like the bi-directional blessing coming, but it's the fact that are we really loving? Because if you're at the post, and this is what he was talking about, if you're coming to my post, you are falling in love with my reproof. You're falling in love with my correction. You should be falling in love with my discipline. Falling in love with how I'm making life for you better and balancing you, bringing you out of all kinds of trouble, revealing things that you were running short in, you were falling short in. So yeah, this love seems to be a bit conditional. And I do have an understanding of why it is so. He says here, I love them that love me. He's saying, I take care of them that love me. For when they love me, they watch this. This is proof of love. They seek me. If you love me, you seek me. That's proof that you love me. How could you love somebody and not go look for them? How could you say you love them and not seek them? How could you love someone, not want to hear from them or be around them? He's saying, if you seek me, now I know you love me. And when they seek him, when we seek him, we find him. And when we find him at the gate and at the post of his doors, he reveals and releases his love, which we know is the relief and the aid and the endowments of all kinds. You see, the Lord has given us access. This was the revelation here. He's given us access to grace through faith. So if you don't show up at the post, where is grace going to be found over your life? If grace is at the post and you don't come to the post, that's why you're not getting the love that you've been looking for from the Father. Mm-hmm. Because grace is found at the post. Remember, we're saved by grace through faith. If authentic faith is at the post, then grace is at the post. You want his love? Get to the post. Move to the post. Live at the post. Stay in his temperament. That's supposed to be over our lives anyhow. You walk in common grace if you don't get there. Not great grace. And this is where God began to really, really impart to us the level of grace we should be living on if we do the work that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. In Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 33, it says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Listen to 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And look at this. And great grace was upon them all. Amen. You got to run up a little bit through chapter 3, chapter 2. These guys were staying at the post. They were staying in the rhema daily, sun up to sun up. These guys were never leaving the side of the rhema word. And now all of a sudden, grace gets an upgrade to great, because they lived at the post. They were under the temperament of the Lord. Everybody was moving in the same place. If you keep reading in, I believe, this same chapter, everybody sold their own possessions. Yes, we see it here. Everybody. So no one thought anything was their own. They had one mind because they were all under the same. How did they get one mind? They were all under the temperament of the Lord by the rhema word.
Amen.
They all grabbed his temperament. That's how the community of believers sold everything. That was God's mood. That was his agenda. They were in what his personality was saying. And grace became great. The apostles kept the people in the rhema day and night. Essentially, they lived at the post of his doors. And the result of them living there was grace became great. It was on its highest level. The word great, we learned, means greatest. I love this word, violent. I want violent grace in my life.
Amen.
Mighty and strong. So now this was what happens when you're doing the work. This is what the book James was talking about. I will show you my faith by my works. You'll see violent grace ripping through all my trouble. You'll see a violent grace that is handling everything that wants to go left field, everything that's of a short in deficit. It's not right. You'll see the grace over my life. I will show you my faith by my words. So when I picture grace becoming great, I picture God ripping through and destroying every shortcoming in our lives. I picture miracles. This is what I see. Moving almost with a reckless abandonment and a violent force to say, nothing can stop me from healing and blessing you. We're not going to be beggars of crumbs off the table. We will eat at the king's table and be filled with plenty. Healing will flow. Deliverance will flow. The glory of God will be all over our lives.
Amen, God. Amen, God.
It will be all over our lives. I will show you my faith by my works. Because grace is going to become great. But the problem is we haven't fallen totally in love. And this is what he was rebuking us about. We haven't fallen totally in love with him or life at the post. You see, in Acts, they broke bread daily. They lived there. They were consistent, no days off in all their ways. They acknowledged him and grace became great. That's why the book is called Acts.
Amen.
It was God in action. It was grace revealing itself as great, violent, strong, mighty. Come on, you know grace was going crazy when you got a bunch of sick folk out in the road. You got a bunch of demonic folk out in the road and Peter's walking by and his shadow is healing and delivering. You know grace had become violent against those. You see how easy it was? They didn't have to reach out for Peter. They just laid him out in the street and let his shadow just touch him. Because grace was being violent there. There was no cry. There was no prayer. There was no intercessory. There was none of that. It was just violent grace.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God.
Because why? I'll tell you why. Because they were loving him and he was loving them that loved him. That's what he wants to do. That's how his love wants to operate. Not you walking the floor all night and fasting, praying, and no. That he wants to rip through your problems. He wants to show you that there's nothing too hard for him. He wants to show you with ease. He wants to prosper us with ease. Oh, yes. But more of our problem was revealed in Proverbs 8:36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. The word sinneth means to forfeit. Elder Allison's been talking about that word forfeit. It also means to repent. So there's like a changing. We can't afford to change our mind about the post. That's repenting in the wrong direction. We can't afford it. We wrong our own souls. And listen, our health and prosperity are tied to our soul. Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So when we repent from moving to the post, we're wronging our own soul. If I wrong my soul, I wrong then the exterior side of my life, the success and the healing that I'm looking for. But if I stay at the post and I stay in his temperament, I let God reveal to me his temperament day by day, moment by moment. No, I'm not wronging my soul. I'm loving him and he's loving them that love him with a violent, violent grace. So you see, when we have those days where we repent in our thinking, those days that we don't feel like going to the post of his doors, those days when we aren't doers of the word, those days that our faith isn't coupled with works. And my God, I've had plenty of those days. It's in these moments that we stop grace from being great. You see, when you truly love someone or something, there are no days off. Ask Kurt when he played ball. There were no days off. He loved having that ball in his hands. When I played football, there were no days off. We had triples in the summertime. I was at practice 3 times a day. Sundays, we ran 2 miles just to get in, look at films, run. I was at football 7 days a week and didn't dread not a moment of it because I loved it. So, and to be honest with you, he wants to feel and experience your love. He really does. He wants to experience it so he can pour his back out on you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. That's what James 4:8 tells us. You draw nigh and he'll draw nigh. So let's kill the days when we don't love him. And we learn this in Romans 7:15-25. And this is when Paul's talking about that which I want to do, I don't do. That which I don't want to do, I find myself doing. I'm not going to read all of the verses, but we get to the answer of how to kill the days of not doing and doing what we shouldn't be doing. And all this stuff is backwards and twisted. You can read it on your time if you'd like, but get down to verse 25. This is the answer of killing the days or the moments we don't love them. How am I going to get out of this mess of doing what I don't want to do and not doing what I know I need to do? I thank God. And this one word right here it's a killer. It's a dagger to it. I thank God through Jesus. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's how I'm going to stop the monotony. That's how I'm going to stop being the one that's doing the opposite of what God wants me to do, and how I'm always frustrating grace, and how I'm out of position of authentic faith. I thank God it's going to happen through Jesus. That points me, the answer points us right back to where we were. We are saved by grace through faith. We know exactly how to get to where Jesus is going to bring deliverance. It's through him. Amen. I got to get to the gate. So your answer doesn't change. If it's through him, I got to get to where he is. All this some timing will be solved, because what will happen is he'll possess the gate of your some timing. He'll stop it. He'll prove to you his power, his love. And that love for him will become consistent. Yeah. It won't be sometimes anymore. You won't choose the wrong thing over him like you had in the past. You won't choose it. Amen. Get to that gate enough and watch what he does for you.
Amen.
The Bible says, through loving kindness have I drawn thee. Get to that gate and let him prove it. Get to the gate. Know ye not that it's the goodness of the Lord that leadeth thee unto repentance? Get to the gate and watch. Taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Get to the gate. I guarantee he'll straighten out how you love him sometimes. Boy, I used to dread getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then he wants to go in there and I got to sit down and wait for him to say something, wait for him to talk to me, point out my flaws and my issues. It was like, oh my gosh. I dreaded it. I was like, come on, man. I'm tired. Just let me. And I'd sit there long enough. And all of a sudden I start talking and I start saying things out my mouth, telling truths about myself. I'd be like, Lord, I don't feel like being here. Just the mere fact I'm telling the truth, it's sparking something in him. Yeah. It's starting to make him spark. It's starting to make him say, okay, now you're talking. See, that's what it means to come boldly before the throne of grace. It means you speak with a boldness. You speak without having any type of fear in what you say. You have no idea when you start talking like that at the gate, it stirs him up. Amen. Lord, I don't feel like being here. I'm tired, man. What? Come on now. Come on. Really? Then all of a sudden you start saying things, you know, I got to get over this, Lord. This is my issue now. This is what I know where to come. I know I need to be here. And then I was like, now you're talking. Keep coming. Now you're speaking. Now you're saying something. I know I need this. I know it, because I can't keep going in the same mundane circle over and over. Now you're talking. You talk yourself out of, a prophet says, out of your mouth flows your own deliverance. You start to flow right in. And then all of a sudden we are saved through Jesus. All of a sudden his temperament drops on you while you're telling on yourself. His temperament falls on you and you're like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then you start to appreciate the regimen of being before him. You don't complain anymore, because you know that the end result is going to yield the peaceable fruit of his righteousness upon you by the time you're done with them at the gate. You know something's going to shift in your mind. It's going to change your thinking. Then it's going to start to bring manifestation and reflection. Man, it's going to happen. The faith life is being discovered here. Yeah. You'll find the answer's the same. I thank God through Jesus. It's going to be right there through him. At the gate. That's how I'm going to stop this up some timing with him. And then part three, he reveals his righteousness as being the explanation of all of this. The reason why we're seeing grace become great, and the reason why grace is starting to bring forth reflection like it is. It's because what he's doing is, when you're putting on authentic faith, which is his temperament coupled with that rhema, when that starts to come on you, his mindset, he's actually putting on the robe of righteousness with it. It becomes the explanation. God wants to he wants you to have it clarified. He wants you to know why grace is bringing reflection, because he's looking at righteousness on you. A statement or account is an explanation. It's a statement or an account that makes something clear. And God said to us in this message, I want to make it clear to why I'm blessing you. I want to make it clear to why salvation's moving in your life. I want to make it clear to you. And this is what he said. He said, righteousness, it's the act, the process of explaining. This is the explanation. This is clarification. You want to know why you're blessed? Because righteousness is coming by faith. clarification God gave us here in this message. Righteousness means equity of character or act. The equity of character. The reason why you're getting now, God is starting to bring forth a reflection, because the equity, the value of the character of God is being made manifest. Why? Because righteousness is coming by authentic faith.
Hallelujah.
He's wrapping you in his righteousness. You can't, he told me this and he made it plain. He said, Todd, you can't get any more right than being in my temperament.
Hallelujah.
Where my temperament is all over you, controlling your every action or everything you say out your mouth is being controlled, my temperament. He said, now you have the robe of righteousness. This is why equity is coming. The value of my character is being released. So righteousness also means the doctrine concerning the way in which man may attain a state approved of God. It means integrity. You're in the place of virtue, purity of life. Rightness, you're in the correctness of thinking and feeling and acting. So equity is, it's the quality on your life now of being fair and impartial. See, that means also the value of shares issued by a company. So this is the very value of Jesus. The very value that makes him value. It's because everything, listen, if you do everything right and you're running a company, let's say you're running a company, Blanche is on the line. Blanche is running, she does wedding cakes and all event planning and does all these things. Blanche, if you're on the line, if you do everything right, if you're advertising right, if you're networking right, you're doing everything right, everything that would make a company successful, you're operating in it right. You will see a high value in your company. You will see that. I prophesied differently. You're going to see a high value come out of your company because you're doing it right. Imagine having the Mecca of righteousness, and you're able to extract his value. Imagine extracting the value of the righteousness of God. He built the earth right, so therefore the earth has substance. It has wealth and riches. He built the heavens beyond the earth, and imagine being able to extract the supernatural that's waiting for us in the heavens. This is the value of God being extracted. How's it coming? By way of his righteousness. So righteousness now is coupled with faith, because the Bible says here, let me just go down a little bit in Romans. It says here in Romans chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I love that. I love the sidebar, but we got to go. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So now we learned that faith and grace tag team. But what happens when authentic faith comes on, we also are clothed in the righteousness of God. Grace now sees that and is endorsed by the righteousness that faith has produced. Now it's endorsed. Grace is now endorsed to bring forth reflection and become great and violent. Grace now begins to reign through that righteousness. Righteousness is the explanation of why you're about to move in the bi-directional blessing, because your faith has now become righteousness in the eyes of God. Why? Because your faith is authentic. An authentic faith puts on the robe of righteousness.
Amen.
Grace begins to reign because of righteousness. It's the faith that becomes the righteousness of God that tags, like I said, it tags grace back to produce reflection over your life. The explanation of why you're about to be delivered, why you're about to be blessed, why you're being healed, why you're about to prosper beyond measure. The explanation behind it is your faith has become righteousness.
Amen, God. Amen.
This is why we're about to blow up. This is why we're about to walk in it. This is why we're about to experience the glory of God. Why? Because of the authentic faith that we have found at the post has become righteousness in his eyes. This is the explanation to why grace is activated. Righteousness. Righteousness. Grace will reign through righteousness. We are the righteousness of God by faith. We are the righteousness of God by faith, everybody. So to reign, for grace to reign, it means you're going to experience the rule of the Messiah, to exercise the highest level of influence. Grace is about to show out. And the explanation of it, you went to the post, you took his temperament, you let him put his temperament on you. And with that temperament, that ease of mind, that mindset that he carries, now he says, yes, now you have also my righteousness. Grace looks back at righteousness and says, oh, I can move now. Let me release the equity of his character. Let me release the value of who Jesus really is. Jesus. Healing will yield to heal. Hey, God, yes, it will yield to heal. Because God sees this total function. He sees the full function. And only thing you did was get to the post. Yeah. See, all these messages tie together. That's why God said to do this balance. They all tie together. They all tie together. They certainly do.
Amen. Amen.
Through the faith of being made the righteousness of God, we find the place of the Messiah's rule, the full value of his influence and control, which is fueled by his love. Hence the verse that says, I love them that love me. He sees his righteousness on you. And you have faith. You have faith that it's on you. When you start to, oh God, help me here. When you start to hold faith and have faith to the fact that you really are the righteousness of God, you see through the eyes of the eagle and you speak through the mouth of the lion. For the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions, and it's the truth. When you start to have faith, authentic faith, to the truth that you really are the righteousness of God and not some scripture that you read and that somebody told you, and you start to really see it for yourself. Hey, my God.
Amen.
This is where angels begin to hearken unto the voice of the word.
Hallelujah.
Because you're sounding exactly like him. Jesus had so much authority, he knew he was right. There was no question. He knew he was right. He knew he was so right that death could not hold Lazarus. Because he was right. He had the answers. He was right. And grace responds to righteousness. Part four, God said, I want to give you guys a booster. Let me give you a booster in the place of authentic faith and righteousness and grace. That he wanted to give us a booster. He said, I want to kill the would-be hypocrite. On April 2nd, I found out at the post of his doors that there was some hypocritical sides to my old man that had to go. I didn't know it, but I was at the post and this is what he was talking. This was with the instruction that came. I was like, oh my gosh. He's like, sometimes you expect change and you haven't changed, but in order to invoke that change, there has to be a change in you that will help that person change too. I said, oh boy. He said, it's really hypocritical. He said, you're being a hypocrite. The hypocrite doesn't hold him or herself accountable. And you probably say, my goodness, how does this deal with faith? Watch, you're going to see just one quick connection. And I'm not going to be long. I'm almost done. The hypocrite doesn't hold him or herself accountable. They hold everyone else accountable for their actions, They typically want change without changing. So God said, today we will take yet another step forward to being in authentic faith. Whatever place that you may be trying to hold on to that God wants to deliver you from, you have to let him possess that gate. The reason being is the hypocrite that may be at home in you will never allow the temperament of Christ. Think about that. If there's something hypocritical about you, you're not going to let temperament be there. And if his temperament isn't there, then faith is not there. Authentic faith isn't there. And it's blocking grace from being great. That's why God got with us on this message, because he didn't want nothing stopping great grace. So the temperament there of Christ must have preeminence. This is one of the reasons why I like what Javon taught us. We're not pillars in the temple, because we're hypocrites sometimes. So we can't be set in the temple of our God. This is one of the reasons why we come in and out and we can't remain. So if there is a bit of a hypocrite in you, then you have to be aware of it and let him possess the gate of the hypocrite. If you do, you will increase even the more in authentic faith and authentic righteousness, and you'll feel that exchange of authentic grace flowing in your life. Here's how we get rid of it. It says, an hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor in Proverbs 11 and 9. But through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Through knowledge, through the awareness of our hypocrisy, just the awareness, just having an awareness when you see areas that might be hypocritical in you, there's no more place for it. The hypocrite, it hides, because it hides behind areas that have been soiled. The word hypocrite means to be soiled with sin, meaning you have a stain somewhere. There's a stain somewhere, and it's that stain that builds hypocrisy. It builds a hypocrisy behind the stain, and it means that you're impious. If the hypocrite is impious, it means it's godless and faithless. And I didn't really get the breakdown of why it would become faithless until I began to understand all the way down in the book of Proverbs, chapter 66 and 8, verse 18. Kurt read this one night during the teaching in the prayer. I remember he brought the scripture out. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he was talking about how to get God to hear. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The word regard means to advise self. Hypocrites are self-advisors. They advise themselves on why they should do what they want to do, why they don't have to stop doing what they're doing. That's what hypocrites do. We advise ourselves. And yeah, that was me. I advised myself to why I didn't have to change, but yet someone else I do need change from. And I would make these inward excuses, not realizing it. And it was hypocritical. And therefore, if I'm in a hypocrisy, his temperament isn't resting on me. Why? How can his temperament be on me and I'm advising myself? They can't exist together. So God was dealing with me. He's like, Tom, we're coming in. I'm bringing you into the totality of faith. You have to be willing to let go here. And I remember I was sitting right there, April 2nd, just a little while ago, and I said, you got it. Possess this gate. Possess the gate of the hypocrite. Possess it, Lord. I don't want to be hypocritical towards in any way. It's taking space of faith, and it's taking the space of your righteousness.
Amen.
And I don't want that. I don't want it. It becomes hypocritical, guys, when God calls us into his presence and we advise ourselves to why we shouldn't have to go right now. That's even hypocritical.
Yes, it is.
Any place where self-advice is hypocrisy against God. And the Bible says this, and I'm going to close here. I'm going to close with this. And the reason why we want to get rid of it, and we see if you read back over your notes in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, you read Matthew 7, you see how that when Jesus told them about the beam they had in their eye, all of them felt ashamed, including the leader of the synagogue. All of them felt ashamed. A beam in our eye, the hypocrisy in our eye, it becomes a false gate. It's through the idea of having a holding up or a timber or beam or a 2x4, if you will. You're holding something up. That's a false gate. And you favor it. You embrace it. You embrace your hypocrisy. You don't reject your hypocrisy. So that means you have a pseudo gate that you're trying to operate through. And how in the world can you get God's temperament and you're at the wrong gate? So now it says this, and this is the problem. This is the danger here in Job 34 and 30. And I'm closing, guys. And this is why God brought it out to us. He says that the hypocrite reign not, lest the people be ensnared. If the hypocrite is reigning, if hypocrisy is reigning in you, if you're still self-advising, then how can grace reign through faith? You can't have two kings. So if hypocrisy is reigning, then grace isn't reigning. And that's why God said, deal with that so I can really bring you into total authentic faith and let grace become great without any interruptions. Period. So God dealt with us about the hypocrite. All these messages are on Facebook. They're all available to you on Facebook. The notes are available to you at any time. Just shoot Elder Allison a text that you want the notes, and we'll get you on the email list for the notes. But man, get these in your heart, because these four, they're dominoes. They run right together. It wasn't sporadic teaching. It wasn't all over the place. It was purposed. I only teach what he tells me. And they always line up with purpose. And that that hypocrite was like a recess that was going to try to steal grace from becoming great. So amen, that's your balance tonight. Amen. I did that under an hour. To God be the glory. I don't know how, but we got it done.
Amen.
And I pray that you guys, I pray that you heard tonight. I pray that you see the buildup. Take the time and let these layers of these rhemas that he's giving us, let them become fixed in you. Let it become your faith life. Let it become your faith life. We're coming into another teaching, if the Lord say the same on Sunday, that talks about the speed of the shield. How fast it is. Looked up something today. We found out something that a missile travels at the highest rate a missile can travel is 15,000 miles. 15,000 miles per hour. Well, we know that the character of God moves like lightning. Those four beasts, they move like lightning. Lightning strikes at about 270,000 miles per hour. Tell me what's faster, the shield or the sin? And that's what God wants to talk to us about, I believe, on Sunday.
Yes, God.
And we're going to learn to use that shield and be faster than even things that are pet peeves. Pet peeves seem to be moving so quick when something you have a pet peeve about something. Comes and knocks you out the temperament real fast. But we're going to learn to raise the shield faster than even the pet peeve.
Bless God.
Oh, God, yes. He's sharpening us. We are going to, man, we're going to dwell here. I'm trying to tell you now. We're going to dwell here. We're not moving.
Oh,
not moving.
God.
He is getting it down, boy. He's getting it down. Yeah.
Yes, he is.
No more blind. We're not going to be blindsided no more. No.
Hallelujah, God.
We're going to learn to wield the shield. We're going to learn to really, really use that thing. He's bobbing and weaving in and out of these messages, so don't move, guys. Stay in there. Don't move. All right, now. Oh, praise God. Let's see what we got going on the board here real fast. Let me see. All right, here we go. We have a few comments tonight. We got one from Elder Donna. She said, amen, amen. Blanche said, right, amen. Joshua Watts, there you go, Jay. He said, amen. Elder Allison said, amen, Jesus. And Blanche rounds us off with another amen. Amen, guys. Amen. Stay in the study. Listen, one thing the Lord said to me about this particular study, it's going to take another new wineskin to hold what you're hearing. The skin, your wineskin must be changed. It's too much new wine. It's too much new rhema. And it will burst old skins and it will leak out of you. You won't be able to sustain it. So how do I get a new skin? Well, it's the same as always. Same as always. He desires truth in the inward parts. Let truth be heard. Let it come out of your spirit. Let the spirit of man be the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. Receive reproof. Receive his instruction. Receive his discipline. Let him make an exchange of the old skin so you can house this rhema. If not, it will leak out. And every week it's gonna leak and you're gonna put it back. It's gonna leak and then you're gonna put it back. It's gonna leak but while it's leaking, you're not walking in it. So we need to allow the Lord to make the necessary changes at the post, possess these old gates, these old ways, so we can fully and thoroughly change our skins. You don't put new wine in old wineskins. So God is purging and he's also possessing the old skin and making an exchange. That means you're going to have to let the change fully develop. So the skin can change and you can house this faith life. Amen. That's all I got for you tonight. If you want to sow a seed, you can sow your seed. Do it from a place of God's temperament. We'll have a small Bible money talk on that again on Sunday. But do it from his temperament. If you have a tithe you want to release, do it from the temperament of the Lord. From the place of grace. From the place of I want to worship you with it. There's no rule now that I have to. It's all rule. It's all about wanting to worship God. In the New Testament, it's nothing's forced. He presents it and what you do with it is up to you. But by his influence, if you're under his influence, he'll show you how to worship him in your giving. He'll teach you how to give an able offering, an offering that's of faith, true faith, just by being under his temperament and releasing seed, not grudgingly or of necessity, but being in a place where you do anything for God. Anything. So bless you guys real good. Father, I pray that you cover every hearer tonight. And I pray that every hearer be a doer even in the same night. I pray, Lord God, that you release unto them the spirit of doing. Let them have patience. I feel this necessary. Patience at the gate. Slow their feet down to wait on you, Jesus. Oh, because when you reveal yourself at the post, how sweet it is, Master. And I pray that everyone experience it beyond words, Lord. And I give you glory for it, Master. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.